The Lord told us to do this as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup in remembrance of Him until He comes back. So we do this until He comes. And it's a great privilege to do so. We've set aside an entire service to do that, to have some brethren share some scriptures with us. And I know that Brother Mark is going to read something for us. And I've asked Brother Ben if he'll do the same. If there are any others that would like to, of you brethren that are here, you'd be welcome to as well, or offer a prayer of thanksgiving for what the Lord has done. We there are several different ways that churches do communion. That is how they determine who can participate. There are those that say that it's totally open. That is open communion. Anybody can participate. I don't believe that is biblical. There is another view that says that's called closed communion. That is that only members in this church can participate. And I don't think that's biblical, following the model in the scriptures. But there is what is called close. Some people call it not closed, but close communion. That is those who are in good standing with this church, or members of this church, or in like faith and practice with us, and not walking out of order. And I would encourage you to think about that, because if you are not walking in fellowship with the Lord, with His people, then you should not participate in this. This is a symbol not only of your participation with Christ, but also with one another in that common life that we have. We do believe here in church discipline, and that includes the ability to tell somebody that they should not participate in the table, that they must not participate in the table. I can't regulate that, obviously, each individual person this evening, but you need to pay attention to what the scriptures have to say about the Lord's table and not take it lightly. And so there are those cases where we'd have to withhold that from somebody if they were under discipline of this church. They would not be in fellowship with us. I know a lot of people are kind of shy or reticent to talk about that, but we have to maintain that. If we have no mechanism to maintain the purity of the church, then what's going to happen to the church? It won't be a church, you know. So there has to be that there, as unpleasant as it may be. So with those words of exhortation, let's go on with the service. I'll just ask our brother Mayor if he'll come and share with us this evening. And then Brother Ben and any of you others that want to. And if there's any delay between the brethren, just use that to pray and prepare yourself to partake of those elements of the table. And then I have something to share with you all from John chapter 6. Okay? So Brother Mark, please come. Thank you.
Going to be in Acts chapter 13. I've been reading through Acts recently, and there's a lot of passages I like in Acts, but this was one of them, and it really connects together the crucifixion and also the resurrection. And we know that without both, we'd have no hope. So tonight, as we remember the Lord's death, we should also remember that He isn't dead at this point. He's alive in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. So we're going to be in chapter 13, verse 14, and we're going to read down through 39. And I just plan to read the passage and just pray that the Lord will teach us the meaning of it. Verse 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who were his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled, the same unto us their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses.
Please turn to Exodus chapter 16, and we'll just read the whole chapter. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we had bread to eat to the full. For ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning to bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him, and what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at evening quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is a thing that the Lord hath commanded. Gather it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take every man for them which are in his tent. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until morning. And it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe that you will seethe, and that which remaineth over for you to be kept until morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither were there any worms therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days shall you gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse you ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, This is a thing which the Lord commandeth, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a pot, and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is the tenth part of an ephah.
I'd like to invite you to turn your Bibles to John 6 this evening. Just meditate on this passage just for a few minutes. our study of the Gospel of John, we've reached this part of the text of Scripture. We've studied John chapter 6 already, verses 1 through 21 in two sections, when the feeding of the 5,000 and then also the miracle of the Lord's walking on the water. And now we've reached verse 22. The Lord brought us to this part here just tonight, timing that wasn't intended, at least on my part. But verse 22, I'm just going to read some of this and then make two comments, really, and then we will go into the next part of the service. It says in John 6:22, "The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus did not go with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone." And then parenthetically it says, "Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias, near to the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took ships and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him has God the Father sealed. Then they said unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? Or what dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the Father's will who hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father who has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that has heard and has learned of the Father comes to me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. And the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eats me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eats of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, "Will you also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life, eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a demon?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Boy, there's an awful lot here which we will touch on later when we do an exposition on these sections here. Several sermons will come, but just a couple of points here I wanted to bring to your attention. One, what this passage does not say. It does not say a lot of things, although it does say a lot of things as well. But what it does not say is that what Jesus speaks of here is the same as what we're participating in tonight. John 6 is not the Lord's table, okay? Even though there's the allusion, I mean, it's the same symbolism here, the bread and the blood, the body and the blood, the bread and the cup, the wine, the juice that we partake in. And many people, of course, get this all mixed up, and they think this passage is telling us about this. If you don't participate in this sacrament, they say, then you cannot have eternal life. That is not true. The Lord's table was not established by John 6. It was established much later, John 13 and following, or at the end of the Lord's ministry. So it's not even at issue here. So make sure we get that very plain. When we make allusions to John 6 and to the Lord's table, we're not saying they're the same at all. We're saying they're related in that they're talking about the Lord Jesus here as in how we obtain eternal life, here as in our remembrance of how we obtained eternal life, our remembrance of that. But it's not that. You can tell that very plainly because he says in verse 40, well, several other places too, but verse 40 is one example. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." So you notice that the will of God is that whoever sees the Son and believes on him will have everlasting life. But then it tells us in verse 53, "Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." What I'm trying to do here is to show you verse 40 and verse 54 and how they're parallel to each other. 40 says, if you believe in him, you will have eternal life. 54 says, if you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you will have what? Eternal life. So if you are just reading verse 54 and asking, what in the world does it mean to eat his flesh and drink his blood? How would you answer that question? What does that mean? Based on verse 40, you would say. These are parallel verses. To eat His flesh and to drink His blood is to believe in Him. It is to put your trust and commitment into Him. That is what He is saying. And in fact, He says down in verse 63, because these so-called disciples, these miracle disciples, well, not even miracle disciples, He says, you don't even believe the miracles. So you just want the food. But these bread and fish disciples in verse 63, He tells them, you know, look, you're not understanding it. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. He's not talking about cannibalism here, which is what they're so dull that they were thinking He was saying. How are we going to eat this guy's flesh and drink his blood? You know, that's obviously sick. but he's not teaching them that at all. So the passage does not teach us about this, quote, sacrament of communion. We don't believe in sacraments. This does not convey to us grace. God conveys grace to us immediately. And there's no external means of baptism or the Lord's table or I told you those sacraments before. You know, what are they? The baptism, the Eucharist, confirmation, holy orders, marriage, all those ones that the Catholics believe in. These are not biblical means of grace. So that's what the passage does not say. What one thing the passage does say, though, which is very important for us to get, and that is when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he's taking their understanding of the Old Testament, that Exodus 16 passage, kind of playing off of that, if you will, using it as a type, if you will, and saying, look, He says, I am your very life sustenance. I am the bread of life. How many of you could live very long without eating any food or any liquid? How long would you last? We joke with each other, you know, some of us will last a little longer than others if we have a little reserve, you know. I wouldn't last very long. But I'm not saying anything about you folks. I'm just talking about me now. I think it's the same thing, though, in the spiritual life. If you depart from Christ, there's some distance between you and Him, you just will die in the vine. I mean, you have to believe in Him. He is the bread of life. If you haven't tasted of that bread of life in some initial way, or you aren't doing that in a continuing fashion, then you just do not have eternal life. And once you get a taste, my friends, you will not leave. real taste of the Lord Jesus. I'm not talking about these kind of disciples that just wanted the bread and the fish. Just looking at the miracles. But true belief, a true disciple, one like Peter, one like the other 11, the other 10 out of the 12. Of course, not Judas, but he is the thing that we need. That's all we need for eternal life. We need Him now. We needed Him when we were saved. We need Him evermore until we never really don't have need of Him. I mean, we will praise Him for all of eternity for what He has done for us. But I want to make sure you get that the point of this is He is our nourishment. He is our sustenance. Without Him, we'd be dead. And He is saying here, I am the bread of life. He says, if you drink, if you eat of Me, then you will have eternal life. There's a lot of other things that He says here. The Father has to draw you to Me. You have to believe. This bread sustains. But notice how He uses that analogy from Exodus chapter 16. You know, what did the folks say here? They said, I can't find it here just now. Moses gave us this bread from heaven. I'm just missing it here now. He gave them bread from heaven to eat, verse 31. And verse 32 says, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. First of all, Moses is not the issue here. Moses is not the man. You know, he didn't give that bread to you. He was an intermediate agent. God gave that bread to you. I was thinking about this, I don't know if he's emphasizing Moses here, but you can also think about this idea of bread from heaven. Well, that manna was from heaven. I mean, it was from God, but it was really from the atmospheric heavens. You know, it was that brought with that dew. Jesus is saying, I am the true bread from heaven, the third heaven. I'm come down from there down to here so that you can have eternal life. And that bread was called manna because they didn't have a name for it. Manna is not a name. Manna means, what is it? So you can imagine, you go to the store, and I imagine this manna is, they said it's like this little round, what was that, Exodus? A little round like a seed. It's, what cereal is like that, little round pellets or something like that, you know? Grape nuts or something? Kicks. I don't know how big around they were, but imagine going to the store and on the box it doesn't say grape nuts or kicks. It says, what is it? ? That's the cereal they ate for 40 years. And it's interesting that the Jews here in John chapter 6 said, what is he talking about? Don't we know that he's the son of Joseph? We know his mother. We know where he's from. He's Jesus. How can he say, I came down from heaven? Who is this guy? Just like they said, what is this manna? You know, what is this? That's redundant to say that. What is this manna? Manna, you know. What is this stuff? You say, who is this guy to say that if we partake of him, we will have eternal life? And so I trust that you understand that he is necessary for your eternal life. It's beginning. It's initiation, if you will, and it's continuance. Without him, you have nothing. And so to eat of his flesh and to drink of his blood means that we believe in him. As I said this morning, we fully commit in faith our eternal destiny to him, our life to him, future in the future and also now. We give ourselves to him. That is what faith is. That's what belief is. He says it another way in John chapter 15. He says, if you abide in me, what does it mean to abide? Well, at base, it means to believe. It means you believe in him. Abide in him. Believers are called believers because they always believe. That is the characteristic of their life. So, as believers, let's thank the Lord tonight as we participate together and fellowship around the table. Without him, we would not have any spiritual life and certainly no spiritual sustenance or nourishment. But this is just a picturesque way of showing that our nourishment comes from him and from that work that he did. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we now turn our attention for the last few minutes of this service to the Lord and his work on the cross of Calvary, to the bread and the cup, which are representative of his work there. These symbols are just that, symbols. And Lord, I pray that each one here tonight will participate properly. That may mean not participating at all. That may mean that even now they are confessing their sin to thee. They will make right before thee what has been wrong for friends, for husbands and wives, for children and parents. Lord, we trust that you will do this work in us now, that we would not partake of the table unworthily, but would judge ourselves, that we would not be judged with the world. Now, Lord, as we turn to that, we pray for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.